For more about 702, go to 702.co.za.
So to the United States, where I suppose it may depend a little bit on your political views and other things, but you did get a sense watching from afar of a country breathing a huge sigh of relief at the fact that there was a guilty verdict on all three counts in the trial of Derek Chauvin, who has been found to have murdered George Floyd. But then the sense I got again from watching the coverage on various channels that it quickly moved to the what next. And it's with that what next in mind that we're joined now by our Washington, D.C. correspondent, Simon Marks. Simon, welcome and thanks very much for joining us. But before, I suppose, we do get to the what next, that collective sigh of relief, did I hear it correctly from 10,000 miles away?
Yeah, I think you definitely did, John. I think America dared to exhale yesterday as that verdict came in, at least the millions of Americans that wanted to see Officer Chauvin convicted on all charges, the jury absolutely agreeing with the prosecution that this was an open and shut case, and the rapidity with which Derek Chauvin went from being a defendant in that court to being a man convicted of murder. It was just seconds after the jury was discharged that he was immediately being placed in handcuffs, his bail revoked, and he was being led out of the courtroom by a white sheriff deputy. And that just instantly became one of the iconic images of the day, and it led to celebrations and commemorations of George Floyd's life and death on the streets of Minneapolis and in many other parts of the country.
So, Simon, nevertheless, then, as I say, these are me watching conversations from a distance, but they seem to move quite quickly to people saying there were specific circumstances in this, not least the fact that this was captured on film and that this wasn't somebody who was shot, particularly if that shooting had occurred at night, but this was done in broad daylight with a brazenness that made this impossible to ignore. The question following from that is how many other things like this have happened that were never recorded and therefore never successfully prosecuted. Are there any answers as to how that might change?
Well, look, I mean, I think that there is no question that the only reason Derek Chauvin now finds himself facing decades in jail is because of those circumstances, and then the commitment of a handful of people in Minneapolis, particularly Keith Ellison, the Attorney General of Minnesota, himself an African-American who was doggedly determined to prosecute the case, but also those bystanders who watched George Floyd's life ebbing away, and they all testified at the trial in favor of the prosecution, including that extraordinary 18-year-old girl who recorded the video that went viral around the world and then emotionally on the witness stand expressed remorse that she had recorded the video rather than doing anything to help George Floyd, almost perhaps not understanding or fully appreciating that it was the video that had kind of created the ability for the state to seek justice in this case. Now, immediately, people on the streets of Minneapolis, the Floyd family, people elsewhere were saying, this is just one legal judgment and there are monumental battles ahead to secure meaningful police reform. President Biden called the Floyd family and promised he would fly them to Washington aboard Air Force One if and when the Senate passes the George Floyd police reform bill, which would ban chokeholds and reduce the ability of police to claim immunity from prosecution for acts of brutality. But the president knows it's going to be a long while before the Floyd family, if they ever get the opportunity to board Air Force One, get the chance to fly here, because this one judgment doesn't change the maths on Capitol Hill. And the maths on Capitol Hill means it's highly unlikely that that bill is ever going to be signed into law.
And then, Simon, if the George Floyd Justice in Policing bill never becomes law in the United States, does anything fundamentally change from this? I've heard people say this sends out powerful signals, police will think twice and so on. But the dynamics, it would seem, of these kinds of violent interactions between American police and Americans of color have quite long histories and deep roots.
Yeah, and I think the honest truth, John, is that we know that tragically and unfortunately there will be another incident of police brutality against a minority suspect very, very soon, and we'll all be talking about it on the program. There is a tragic inevitability about that, but I think that certainly the response to this verdict has been that once, just once, and finally, a police officer is being held responsible for his actions. And it allowed people in that crowd in Minneapolis to say, look, this proves that actually black lives do matter. I mean, there was always, I think, in their mind, a question about whether American society was ever even going to reach that point. It's now reached it, but this case in and of itself doesn't preclude further incidents of police violence inevitably from occurring somewhere in America soon.
Simon Marks, our correspondent in Washington, D.C., thoughts on that particular judgment and what else might need to change? Also, questions we might ask about our own policing system, which has come very much in the spotlight over a number of incidents in our country. One of those angles speaks to you most, 011-883-0702.
For more about 702, go to 702.co.za.